So let's go to how you do this at home. And again, I'm going to go over the numbers again, because again, I understand that it's confusing. The number you want to keep in mind is 120 over 80. Now, this is another chart that basically shows you what I was showing before. So you don't have to go into a lot of detail with it, but what you do want to know is find the 120 over 80, and that's where you want to be. But as we said before, as we get older, that blood pressure creeps up, right? So your blood pressure at 70 is going to be higher than it was at 20 or 30, just normally. Doesn't mean you're a bad person. And let me address this. One of the things that I tried very hard with my patients is to have them eliminate the guilt. You would be amazed at how patients feel guilty. Now, that's not just because they do it themselves. People will say, well, you should have done so and so and so and so. That's why your blood pressure is so high. And if you didn't do, you know, that we make each other feel guilty. You know, husbands make wives feel guilty, wives make husbands feel guilty, on and on and on and on. Get away, let go of the guilt. It just makes the blood pressure worse. So forget about the guilt. We're all human. We all make mistakes. We're not perfect. It's okay. You don't have to be perfect. It's okay. God made us the way we are, and he is perfect. So it's okay. So don't worry about the guilt. We particularly see that with obesity, where people feel, I must be a bad person. That's why I can't control my diet. It's not true necessarily. And a lot of times this stuff is genetic. As a matter of fact, your blood pressure may not be because you did something wrong. You may have gotten that from mom and dad or grandma and granddad, right? So it's not your fault. So if you're blaming yourself for stuff, let that go. Just let that go. It's not worth it. And indeed, the more you blame yourself, the higher it makes your blood pressure anyway, right? So that you can do really easily. All right. So this I found was golden. And I research every single topic that I'm going to talk about multiple times, even though I think I know it, but I still research it. And I found this list that I just thought was excellent. What this does is that it tells you how to measure your blood pressure at home. How to measure your blood pressure at home. How many times have you gone to the doctor and had him or her to give you instructions, specific instructions about what you should do at home to measure your blood pressure? Most times they don't. They'll just say, well, you take it and you put it here and you make sure and you squeeze it and the whole thing. And if it's this, it's high. If not, call me or whatever. So we're going to go over this. Number one, do not drink caffeine, smoke, exercise at least 30 minutes before you take your blood pressure. Don't jump on your exercise bike. So, oh my goodness, I got an appointment at 6 o'clock and I got to hurry up. And oh, I need to run and take my blood pressure before I go to my appointment. No, don't do that. Do not do that. Right? Because your blood pressure is going to be high and then you're going to really get us up. Oh my God. And that's just going to make it higher. Okay, so let me go over number one. And if you don't remember any slide that I've presented today, remember this slide. Remember this slide. And let me also say, God bless it, Shelley, who now puts this on the website, puts this on the church website. It's on your church website, STSBC. It's on your church website. And if you see, it's under events. It's on the events, the high blood pressure lecture today. Scroll down, and the PowerPoint is there. It's at the bottom of the page, and so it's there. But please remember this. So again, don't drink caffeine. Why? Because caffeine is a stimulant. I love coffee. Caffeine is a stimulant. 30 minutes before you check your blood pressure. You can drink your coffee, but just don't do it before then. Don't smoke. Exercise at least 30 minutes before that. Number two. Empty your bladder before you take your blood pressure. Seems simple, but many times it can add to an increase in blood pressure. You're looking at 120 over 80. You don't want having a full bladder to get you up to 125, right? Oh, come on, we can talk here. I'm your doctor. We can talk. You don't want that, right? Basic stuff. Basic stuff. And we want you to do this every single time. Every single time, okay? Number three, sit with your back straight in a chair, feet on the floor, okay? And just sit there. We want you to have a certain posture as you measure your blood pressure. Number four, rest quietly at least 5 minutes before we take your reading. Remember, you just jumped off the exercise bike and you're rushing to take your blood pressure. No. Stop. Just sit and think about something. For you wives, think about your husbands. For you husbands, think about your wives. I want you to relax. Oh my goodness. All right. Think about whatever. Whatever relaxes you. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I don't want to know. But you want to be in a quiet place mentally. At least 5 minutes before you take your blood pressure, right? Because what you're doing is you're settling everything down. Settling everything down. One of the podcasts we did, and we're going to do another one on it. I talk about the prefrontal cortex. That's the head, the brain. The prefrontal cortex is where the forehead is. But if you go into the brain, that's what we call the executive center of the body. That's where you do your thinking. That's what tells you when to speak, when not to speak, whatever. The whole purpose of you rest for 5 minutes is for that prefrontal cortex to settle everything down. It's like, you know, with family, you tell all the kids, okay, everybody be quiet. Five minutes, everybody be quiet. Why? Because you want the best possible blood pressure number when you check it. Does that make sense? You want it to be most accurate and the best possible number. The last thing you want is to have it be artificially high, and then that worries you and scares you, and so then it goes even higher. Does that make sense? Okay. So again, this is control. This is control of you. Now, and throughout the leadership, we don't try to give you advice about how to control others. We're talking about you controlling you. You controlling you. And that's in the prefrontal cortex of the brain, right? And that says, no, I'm not going there. I'm not going to say that. I'm thinking it, but I'm not going to say it. All right? You know, that's the conversation that you have, you know, and that occurs in that prefrontal cortex of the brain, you know? And, you know, the id, the ego, and the superego. The id is self. The ego is the rational part. The superego is what I call the Holy Spirit, what Reverend Collins calls the Holy Spirit. Okay? And my point is, you know, it's like there's the middle you, there's the selfish you, there's the bad you and the good you, and then you're in the middle, if that makes sense. Okay? And the good you is the Holy Spirit. I mean, God says, I'm going to leave that with you. You know, I'm not going to leave you by yourself. You will have something that you can call on 24/7. But see, but we got to use it. We can't just sort of leave it in the corner. Okay. I don't want to agree. So that was number three. Number four. No, not number four was resting for 5 minutes. Number five, do not talk, move, text before you take your blood pressure. Do not sit there with your cell phone, you know, and you're sitting there with the thing on your arm, and you get a text and you're doing this. Don't do that, right? And for obvious reasons, because you get a text, you're not paying attention, and already you're alert and you're thinking because you got to respond. So don't do that. And finally, if your blood pressure is above 120 over 80, stand up and take it again. Because you notice, if you go into your doctor's office, and I'll just use this again, Kaiser. You go into Kaiser's office, and your blood pressure is 120 over 80. First thing the nurse is going to do is say, well, why don't we have you to stand up again? Let's take it again. Most of the times, when you stand up, it'll drop a bit. Okay? Most of the times, when you stand up, it'll drop a bit. Why? Because this is a continuous process. It is not one way 24/7. And that's what's confusing for most regular people. So, well, I don't understand why this, because it's always moving. It's always moving, right? So what you want to do is take control of all that movement. Take control of it, because it's your body. Now, a lot of stuff you can't control. You can't control other people. You can't do any of that. But you can control you. You can control you, right? Because you're responsible for you. Okay. So remember those things. And again, I encourage you to go to the church website and just copy that slide if you don't copy anything else. And if you need more information, just sort of check out. Now, real quick, don't want to take too much time. Blood pressure equipment. Now, I graduated from medical school in 1973. And I remember when we used to take blood pressure, that was a blood pressure cuff. That's the thing you wrap around your arm. That was a stethoscope. You know, that was this little thing that you would squeeze. You know, you can see the picture. That's in the doctor's hand. You squeezing this little thing and, you know, squeezing the pressure as it goes up and then slowly let it out and it comes back down and you watch the thing flick and flick and flick. Don't use that. Bottom line. And now your blood pressure should be have only two pieces. There's the cuff that goes around your arm and it has a tube. And then there's the little machine. That's the little white thing. You just plug it into the machine, push a button. That's all you do. Right? Okay. So you can go to the pharmacy and get one. They usually aren't that expensive, about $20-$30 if you don't have one. If you have one that's old, I would encourage you to update it, because the last thing you want is to have your blood pressure measured by a machine that's not effective, because you want it to be accurate, is my point. You don't want a mistaken blood pressure, okay? And so you don't need the stethoscope. You don't need to do the self-inflating, because when you push the button, it automatically inflates. And then it does everything else by itself. And then it goes down, and then it gives you a reading. And usually it saves the reading at the bottom of the machine, okay? So that's all you need to do. Simplicity. If there's anything I've learned in my 76 years, simplicity is always better. Whenever things get complicated, there's usually a problem there. You know what I mean? Life should be simple. Should be simple. Okay. Remember to get your regular checkups and that sort of thing. And as I mentioned before, blood pressure can be inherited. So if you have it, it does not mean you're a bad person. And I mentioned this, and I know it may seem like a bit of much, but a large percentage of my patients, certainly when I had my office, were from St. Stephen's, or a number of them were from St. Stephen's. And what I found was we Christians tend to beat up on ourselves. You know, we tend to think that, well, you know, if I just really prayed a little harder, my blood pressure would be under control. No, it doesn't work that way. It does. So whatever your health condition is, it is not a barometer of your level of Christianity. It is not. The two are separate. Okay. Okay. Just what we talked about before, some of the symptoms that may occur with high blood pressure, headaches, chest pain, blood in the urine, shortness of breath, vomiting, palpitations, dizziness, blurred vision, nosebleeds. Most of the times, most people don't get these symptoms. Most of the times, most people don't get them. Some do, but most do not, which is why you cannot rely on symptomatology to tell you how controlled your blood pressure is or is not. Treatment of the problem. It is individual, because each of us is uniquely individual. Lifestyle considerations are very important. It is important that you have regular checkups with your physician and always coordinate with the physician. But I believe, and a big part of these masterclass series and podcasts, is that we have control over ourselves. And I think that that's the one untapped area of healthcare, is that we want to do all these things and tell patients to go here and go there, instead of saying, you know what, you can actually really do this yourself. And if you can do it yourself, you're going to be better doing it than I am, you know, because you're going to be more motivated to do it. And clearly, blood pressure is one of those things. Again, just some basic things about blood pressure management. Pretty much everything has to do with diet and exercise. If you exercise, that helps to lower your blood pressure. If you eat properly, low salt types of foods, and most of you are familiar with it, or you can sort of look it up, that helps to control your blood pressure. So there are a lot of other aggregate things that can participate with that. But you start with the intentionality of the prefrontal cortex of the brain. I am going to do this because I need to do this, period. Blah, 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 blah. It is because of the variability of blood pressure is that it makes the treatment more complex. On the left side here, there are many different types of medications to treat blood pressure. And indeed, if you have blood pressure, I'm going to submit that you're probably on more than one medication right now. You might be on a water pill. You might be on a calcium blocker. You might be on an ACE inhibitor, blah, 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 blah. Don't worry about all that. Don't worry about all that. Take your medication as prescribed. All right. And do not say, well, you know, I feel okay today. I don't think I need to take that blood pressure stuff. I feel good. No, no, no. Take it every single day. And when you put on new medication, if it bothers you, say you put on a water pill, but now you have to get up every hour to go to bed. And you say, you know, I can't even sleep at night because this water pill. Tell your doctor and have him or her to change it. There are almost 100 types of blood pressure pills. So they can change it and find the right one for you. If your doctor is lazy and he or she will not listen to you, change doctors. Real something. Remember, you're in charge. It's your body. Right? You're in charge. And if there's anything that I have learned, and I would definitely tell you that, you know, back in the 70s, when I came out of medical school, the philosophy was certainly Yale and other places that we, the doctor, in charge. You do what I say. Don't ask me questions. You just do what I say. All right. And what I learned, and this falls under the category of what my patients have taught me over the last 50 plus years, is that that's not always the best care to give people. The best care is where there's a partnership between me and that patient. And I said, okay, Mrs. Smith, I'm going to suggest you do A, B, and C. Do you understand? And Mrs. Smith says, okay. If I don't get Mrs. Smith's agreement, I can prescribe all the stuff I want. She may or may not take it, depending on how she feels about me, right? So am I helping her? No, I'm not. I'm not helping her. My goal is to help her. So I need to do what I should do. I'm theoretically the healthcare professional, so I need to meet her where she is. But one of the things we used to tell medical students when they would come and they say, oh, doctor, I just don't know what's going on with this guy. You know, I went over the stuff, but he says it's still whatever, whatever. And I would say, go back again, because you've obviously missed something. And what they used to tell us is, listen to the patient. She's telling you what the problem is. You aren't hearing her. And so if it's not working, you need to go back. It's not her fault. She's not the doctor. She's not supposed to know. Your job is to go back again and again and again and again and again until you get it right. Until you get it right. Okay, same thing with the medication. Everybody knows this, but let me say it again. Never take other people's medication. All right. You run out of your medication because the prescription didn't arrive and you forgot to go to the pharmacy. And you said, well, you know, my husband has a hydrochlorothiazide. You know, I just take one of his tablets. You know, it's the same, 25 milligrams. No, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay. So make sure if you get your medication in the mail, do it ahead of time. And make sure you're like a time ahead, you know, depending on what service you use. But you don't want to run out. If you're going to go out of town, make sure you have enough medication with you. If you're going on a trip or somewhere. In summary, hypertension is a very common medical problem. It is probably one of the most common serious medical problems. Patients often treated with multiple medications. We talked about that. I would say the single most important thing is for you to accurately measure your blood pressure at home. Because the reality is, this is also what my patients have taught me over the last 50 years, it is a partnership between doctor and patient. It is a partnership, or healthcare team and patient. It is a partnership. We used to just say, well, we'll just tell them what to do. That's all we need to do. That's not good enough. That's not good enough. Because if I tell you what to do, and if I'm a jerk, why would you listen to me? You know, and they said, you know, that guy, my husband was sitting in the room and he didn't even speak to my husband. My husband was sitting right there. He didn't even speak to him. He just started talking to him. He acted like my husband was a piece of luck. But why should I trust him? You know, and so why are you looking for somebody that you don't take the medication and then you end up suffering, right? So keep that in mind. It's important that when you get your blood pressure your blood pressure machine, take it with you to your next doctor's visit and have them to check out your blood pressure machine. Now, most times they're pretty basic, but just to make sure that it's accurate. Just make sure that it's accurate, okay? And that there's no downside, and they'll be happy to do it. There's no downside to do that. And always, if you have a question, always call the doctor or email the doctor, whatever way you communicate to your healthcare team. One of the things I always like, because again, you're in leadership masterclass, is to make sure that you always do your own research in addition to what we say here. And these are just search things you can put in your search engine on your phone, on your PC at home. Yale Health, Kaiser Permanente, which is local, Harvard Health, Mayo Clinic. Just, you'll look up high blood pressure at the Mayo Clinic. They'll tell you what I just said, but that just reinforces your knowledge and your skill base as you review stuff. I always like to end up going over my basic principles. Number one, God is in charge. God is in charge of my life. And as a physician, I learned this many, many years ago. I would encourage you, if you are blessed to be a person of faith, and if you believe, that is a huge part of your healthcare, and that will help you as you have to deal with other things. Second thing, I don't have bad days. I've said many times before, I used to have bad days up until about 30 years ago. And about 30 years ago, I figured out that my days were good or bad if I said they were. That if it's raining outside and I say, oh, that's such a bad day, then it's a bad day. If it's raining outside and I say, oh, what a beautiful day, then it's a beautiful day. So I decided I'd had enough bad days in my life, and so I eliminated them all. My point is, if I can do it, you can do it. That if you get up and Saturday is a bad day, eliminate it, because you have that power, because that's you. That has nothing to do with anybody else. And you can control how you feel and what you believe just by what you tell yourself. And so use that power. Don't sweat the small stuff. Most stuff is small. I have learned that most of the times when you think something negative, I'll make it spit. When I think something negative about something that's happened or something somebody says, I am wrong. Most of the times I am wrong. And most of the times, even if I'm right, it doesn't matter anyway. Right? It's little. It's small. I don't care. So I said, you know what? I just let that stuff go. I just let it go. Let it go. Number four, forgiveness is therapy. Similar to number three, somebody says something to you, uses a certain tone that offends you, does something to you, forgive them instantly. Don't think about it, because if you think about it, you won't do it. You won't. You'll talk yourself out of it. So, no, I don't like the way she looked at me. No, no, no. No, just say, God, I forgive them. God bless you. Have a great day. Whatever. But forgive them. And you will find that that is therapeutic for you. Because what are we talking about? Only you can control you. Nobody's going to help you with this. Not really. They can give you advice, but it's still up to you. But if you have that power, use it. Okay. And the fifth thing, and I say this all the time, definitely I've learned this, everything is a relationship. This is a relationship between me and you. It's a relationship. Relationships are based on three things: mutual respect, mutual trust, good communication. If you have those three things, you have a great relationship. I don't care whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, husband and wife, son, daughter, I mean, son, father, whatever, whatever, whatever. But if you don't have those three things, then you've got some work to do with that relationship. One of the things, and I think it was Jesse that mentioned, St. Stephen's very graciously has placed information about the leadership masterclass on their website, Shelley Shaw and the team, Pastor Dockery, and so we're very gracious, appreciative of that. But my point is, you have access. You have, if you say, oh, you know, that guy was talking so fast, I didn't listen to half of what he said, you can go back to the website and look it up. And as I said, as of a month ago, Shelly even has the PowerPoint. This PowerPoint is on the website. Scroll all the way down to the bottom. That's on the events. You have to go on the events, not ministries, on the events. Scroll all the way down to masterclass. It's in red, and you can find that. And also the podcasts on the ministries. Scroll all the way down, and every single podcast is on the website. Just click the button. Well, one of my favorite podcasts is Casey Davis. Casey Davis, 10 years old. 10 years old. I've done a number of interviews, but that's one of the favorite interviews that I did. She was recommended to me by her Sunday school teacher, Sister Choctaw, and she was talking, oh, this kid is just outstanding, and blah, 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 and she's just this. I said, really? I said, you know, leadership can come at any age. You don't have to be 80 to be a leader. 10 years old. And once she started talking, I immediately understood. I said, I get it. I said, so have you thought about college? She said, oh, yes. I said, really? What colleges are you thinking about? She ran down a list of colleges. 10 years old. How many 10 years old do you know can tell you what college they want to go to? Think about that. I'll just leave that thought with you. But anyway, my point is, it's on the website. And just go, it's what we call an embeddable player. You can listen to it on the website. Just click the button. And it'll just go through it. You can listen to all the interviews. Pastor Rivas, not Rivas, he's coming up. But Pastor, thank you, Francis. That's what I was thinking. Well, thank you, Pastor Francis, Pastor Nickens, a number. Pastor Docker, thank you. Actually, the man, sir. And his podcast is done in December. He was still there. Fascinating. You really should listen to that. He talks about how the ministry and the military sort of shaped his life. Stuff I didn't know, but it was outstanding, and just spotlighting leaders. So again, I would encourage you to do that. And finally, as we always like to say, be the change you want to see in the world.